Bill Rose had a great idea for a restaurant. He'd use his connections in professional baseball to fill his restaurant with celebrities.
So we had limos lined around the block and cabs lined around the block. And, I mean, there was, because the athletes had attracted great-looking women, and there were drugs all over the restaurant. And I succumbed to both, and I would be staying up till, 4 or 5 in the morning, going to an after-hours place afterwards with some people, and, sometimes getting home at, 5, 6, 7 in the morning.
Bill's wife, Vicki, was having a very different experience.
Here I am, home with 2 children, completely by myself. I was so lonely. I had started to run through my mind over and over and over. How am I going to live in this marriage? How is this possibly going to work? I mean, obsessively thinking about that. But if I ask him to leave, how will I raise children by myself? What can I mean, how will I afford to raise them? How will I raise them without a father? They need him. I loved him. I wanted, the guy that I loved was kind of not there anymore.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Tuesday, October 14th, 2014. Yesterday, we heard part of a conversation between Nancy Lee DeMoss and Bill and Vicki Rose. We heard how Vicki grew up trying to fill a sense of emptiness. She filled it with success in business, being active in New York City's social life, with nice clothes and money. And she tried to fill that emptiness by getting married to Bill Rose, who had part ownership of the New York Yankees. If you missed part one of the story, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. And you can also see the video our team made with Bill and Vicki. When we left off yesterday, this couple had just gotten married.
So when did the sense kick in for either of you that the expectations you'd had going into marriage, and Vicki, I know you'd had a lot of expectations. When did it start? Do you start to realize this wasn't all you had hoped?
That's such a good question. I was still, I don't think I thought of it that way, Nancy. I was still in the, I'll do whatever it takes to make it okay. I'll put aside my desires and I'll just keep trying to make it okay. And maybe something's wrong with me that it's not okay.
And what was not okay? What were you feeling that was not okay?
There was an emptiness. We didn't communicate at all. We were like 2 people doing our own thing. When I married Billy, he was working for his dad in the textile business. I was working in retail at Saks Fifth Avenue. And I thought, here I'm marrying a guy who's doing something similar to what I'm doing, and come to realize that he just did that. That was not his passion. It wasn't what he loved to do. And I really loved what I was doing. So I don't think I could have put into words then that this isn't right. It's just that I was unhappy, and I sort of realized that my unhappiness had not just to do with the circumstances, but to do with things that I needed to deal with myself. My mom dying, I had never grieved because we had just gone on life as usual. My sister, was a typical older sister, kind of mean growing up, and we needed to make some peace. And so there were just lots of issues, and I didn't know how to communicate. It's not just that we didn't communicate. I had no idea how to communicate. I was afraid to communicate, honestly. And what long-term relationship had I ever had? I mean, none. So I had no idea how to be a wife. I didn't know who to ask how to be a wife. I didn't have any examples before me.
And your view on the marriage was what? You saw these occasional outbursts of anger. Was that your tip-off that there were issues?
I did, and I guess I didn't get it. I think my thought process was, I am providing you with a great roof over your head and these events and dinners and
great baseball tickets.
Yeah, great baseball seats. I mean, we're in the owner's box. So I didn't get what was going on at all. And when I get these – she walked in, I think it was a Sunday, and I had some friends over. We were watching some game, and she like hit the roof about something. And I'm thinking to myself, this – is just not what a marriage is about. I can't have her embarrassing me in front of my friends. I was more concerned. I was not concerned really about why she was doing this, why she was feeling like this. I was more concerned about what are my friends going to be thinking about this kind of reaction. That's when I started to think this just is not going to work.
And I remember that coming in and seeing Billy watching TV with a group of friends and walking into it and thinking, I have no part in this, and feeling so apart from Billy, and that we didn't have a relationship that we shared our hearts and shared, you know, our desires. And I just remember being just overwhelmed and upset by that. And my response, rather than saying, you know, this is how I feel, was to blow up and say, why are you all here? And this is my house. And, you know, I didn't feel welcome in my own home almost. But I also remember, too, at that time, Nancy, I had no gratitude for anything. Nothing was ever enough. Nothing. I was looking for, like, I thought Billy would make me happy. I thought all these fancy things we did, baseball games and owner's boxes and gifts he would buy me, I thought they would make me happy, and wasn't working. I couldn't have put that into words then, that that's what was going on. But it was almost, I mean, I think that I was afraid. Like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not happy? Why is nothing ever enough? Why don't we have more? And then they'll be happy.
Did you think the children would make you happy?
That was definitely the next progression. So we were married almost 5 years when Douglas was born, just before I turned 30. He was born in 1982, and I thought, well, none of this other stuff is working, maybe. And then I started to desire to have a child, which is by 30 is a natural female, married female desire. But of course, he was born, and I didn't have a great example of mothering. I didn't really know how to mother. He was a colicky baby. He didn't sit still. He was constantly active and very busy, and I thought I wasn't a good mom. I didn't know how to quiet him or get him to sleep. And Billy wasn't really – he grew up in a family thinking that, well, childcare is all the mom's responsibility. And so I felt even more alone at that point.
Yeah, don't forget, my dad got married for the first time when he was 55. Growing up, I saw, you know, my dad as the guy that goes to work, makes the money. It was my mom that dealt with all the household stuff and the rearing of me. So I expected that from Vicky.
And Vicky hadn't come into the marriage with thinking that that was going to be her job.
Right. I had come into the marriage actually thinking that Billy was going to make everything okay in my life. I mean, we came in, both of us, very much thinking the other one was going to take care of our needs.
See, and I thought I was taking care of her needs. Because I was
providing.
I was providing. I thought sometimes the way to get her off my back about stuff would be to throw some money at her and say, you know, sweetheart, here, go buy yourself this or go buy yourself that. And it worked, by the way.
It did.
It worked for a certain amount of time. And then it would wear off and we'd be back to the same spot again. Yeah.
And we started going to counseling back then, which helped somewhat. But really, until Christ was at the center of both of our lives, which came later, we didn't have a foundation that we could share that was square one. We had no square one to say, well, this is the way that it needs to be done.
You know, I'm thinking though of how kind the Lord was to put you both in a place where life as it was not satisfying. Mm. Because if what we have here was totally satisfying, then would we ever really get desperate?
That's so true.
Only the Lord can bring to our lives.
I remember back then, Nancy, thinking if we just had when the children were born, we were living in a small apartment in New York City, and I thought, you know, if we just had a bigger apartment that I could decorate beautifully, you know, then I'd be happy. And, you know, I am so thankful that none of those things happened, because maybe for a while they would have made – I don't know, you know, would have made me happy. Doubtful, but
for
I just
a while.
Kept thinking, mm-hmm. you know, if only we had.
Yeah, I was happy with the small apartment because it allowed me to do a lot of other things that I couldn't have done if I had, you know, gone out and bought a – and spent a lot of money on an apartment and let my wife go wild decorating. So, the trips to Europe and the trips to Palm Springs and whatever the heck we did, wouldn't have been able to do. Would have been, a nice apartment, but not able to do the things that I liked to do. Therefore, we stayed in that apartment.
Yeah.
Just
to comment on what you had said, that is so true. If I think I'm so grateful that, and this is where God is so merciful, in knowing what we need and what we don't need, and creating such a need in me, in us, in everyone for Him,
making us realize how empty we are apart from Him. And that stuff really doesn't satisfy.
Right.
Stuff, relationships, marriage, children, none of it, apart from Christ, can ever really deeply satisfy.
As we eventually separated, and then as I came to know the Lord, starting to all of a sudden be so grateful for the roof over my head and the building that we lived in and the doorman that, protected, and just really just so saddened by my previous, desire for so much and not realizing how much I really already had and how incredibly blessed my life was. I had two healthy children, the children and I would just have so much fun together. They're just great kids. They were and they still are great kids. And just coming to know Christ just changed everything.
And I want to back up because you just covered a lot of ground there.
I know.
Somewhere in that journey, Bill, you left the textile business. And
I did. Well, in 1984, our daughter was born, Courtney. And it was also in 1984 that I did leave my dad's business. And I opened a restaurant that I built from scratch. Basically, it was called the Sporting Club. And it was in Tribeca.
In New York City.
In the city. It was about 10 blocks north of where the World Trade Centers were. And the day my daughter was born, she's never let me forget this, we had Ricky Henderson's press conference. Ricky Henderson had just been signed by the Yankees, and it was a huge deal. And the press conference was going to be at the Sporting Club, which was a big deal for me. So fortunately, Courtney was born early enough in the morning that I was able to see her, hold her, tell her I love her, and then shoot down to the restaurant to be there for the press conference. I mean, George was there, and it was a ton of press, and Henderson, of course. And
the restaurant had only been open 2 months, so to have this kind of event happen was huge for Billy and for the business.
But that restaurant also became really
consuming
of your life.
It did. And it was pretty large. It was 6,000 square feet. And I created an atmosphere of, well, if you don't come to the Sporting Club, which athlete will you miss seeing? So we had limos lined around the block and cabs lined around the block. And because the athletes had attracted great looking women. And there were drugs all over the restaurant. And I succumbed to both. And I would be staying up till, 4 or 5 in the morning, going to an after-hours place afterwards with some people. And, sometimes getting home at, 5, 6, 7 in the morning. So this was in 84. And in 1986... is when we separated.
And so, Vicki, you knew this was going on, this lifestyle?
I didn't know all of it. I knew that Billy was coming home from the restaurant at, 4 or 5, whatever time in the morning. I was home with a baby and a toddler. Billy would come home, and I'd just be getting up because the kids would be getting up at that hour of the morning. And we had no life together whatsoever. Billy was completely dealing with the restaurant, and I was completely home alone with the kids.
So when you were together, what was the temperature?
We were barely together. The restaurant was open.
It's about the same as it is outside right now.
Pretty
it's frigid.
Frosty.
Yeah.
It was not good.
So was there a lot of anger, arguing, you know, that kind of stuff expressed, or just a chill between you?
I would say, you know, I would go to Billy and say, this isn't working, and he just did not want to hear that. And he would say, what, you know, I have to be doing this. This is what I have to do. This is our livelihood. And so I think, well, he's right. I understand that. But here I am home with two children completely by myself. I was so lonely. I had started to run through my mind over and over and over. How am I going to live in this marriage? How is this possibly going to work? I mean, obsessively thinking about that. But if I ask him to leave, how will I raise children by myself? What can I mean, how will I afford to raise them? How will I raise them without a father? They need him. I loved him. The guy that I loved was kind of not there anymore. The guy
and were
that
you
I
mentally
had,
checked out of the marriage?
Totally. I really was. And I had really started to do a lot of drugs back then. Then I started to really get addicted to cocaine. And I mean, there were days and nights I was doing up to 4 grams of coke a day, which, you know, probably should have killed me. Between that and the amount of vodka I was drinking to counteract the drugs, to try to stay even. I'm not sure how I even ran this restaurant, but I did. And I was what you'd call a functioning addict back then.
And other women were part of the scene too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so I guess you called me at the restaurant.
I would call, like, when are you coming home? When are you coming home? I need you at home. I remember the children both had chicken pox at the same time. I was home by myself with the kids. And just wanting his support, his being there, his something. And Billy just wasn't there. I mean,
but
physically.
But didn't you call me to tell me you wanted a divorce on the phone?
No.
When I was in the
restaurant? I came down.
You came to the restaurant?
I came down. I remember finally getting to the place where I just couldn't go on anymore. And I didn't know anything about addiction. I thought that Billy was doing this because I wasn't a good enough wife. You know, I just had babies. I was over, you know, all these things. I didn't know about addiction. I didn't know anything that I've learned a lot about since. I just figured it was something to do with me. But I came to the place where I couldn't live like that anymore. And actually, a month before we separated, Billy had said, let's go on vacation. I'm going to try to stop doing cocaine. And we went down to Hilton Head, and Billy would be in the room all day. And I remember sitting on the beach on the row of chairs. I can picture it. And I had just bought a Walkman, and I bought a classical music tape, and I was sitting by myself at the edge of the ocean and just crying. There were all these families all around me. They were playing frisbee with their kids and laughing and smiling, and I was just sat there with tears rolling down my face and just said, Lord, you know, and I didn't even know the Lord. I just prayed, God, there just has to be more to life than this. This just can't be what it's about. And that was in May of 1986.
So you wanted to stop, at least at that point.
I did, but it was impossible. I couldn't do it. And
Vicki, you had stopped.
I had stopped
the
before
drugs.
You stopped before you had the kids.
Before the kids were born, before I was pregnant.
You just like made the decision to stop and you did?
I did, because I realized I was addicted. Back in high school, I had been addicted to diet pills. My mom had a big issue about my weight, had weighed me in on mornings. And so unknowingly, I had asked a dermatologist if he'd prescribe diet pills for me, thinking that would be a way to lose weight. I had no idea they were addictive.
Yeah, but I got to say, because you can't see my wife, she's 5 foot and weighs about 102 pounds. Okay, if she got to 105, we're talking about weight issues.
Well, my mom,
I mean, it was ridiculous.
Anyway. So I had been in high school. I had been addicted to diet pills, got very sick finally in college from them, stopped. So had not wanted anything to do with drugs because I knew that that would happen to me. But then when Billy and I got back together after our short separation, I started doing cocaine with him. And that's when we were partying in Studio 54 and all these celebrities. And we'd be out till 4 in the morning. I'd barely roll into work the next day, started losing weight. And one day I realized that I was in big trouble, and I asked the store to send me on a trip to see my departments in Florida. There were four stores there, or three. And so they did. They sent me for 5 days. And I thought if I could just get away from Billy and the drugs that were so available at home. And I spent I spent 5 days in Florida and didn't touch drugs, started eating again, and came home. And that was really the last time I had.
So that was before you.
That was before we had
the
children.
Kids. So
yes.
Now, fast forward, Bill's trying to get off drugs. Was it hard for you to understand why he couldn't just stop?
Yes, absolutely. Because I had made a decision and stopped. And I couldn't I thought, well, if he loved me enough, he would stop. I mean, he would see what's happening here. If he loved the children. I mean, I just thought anything he would stop. But
so you tried and
couldn't happen. I was just, I needed the drugs to make me feel normal. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and start to feel withdrawals and would have to do a hit in the middle of the night just to go back to sleep, just to get me back to where I was calm and felt normal and go back to sleep again. So it was out of control. And when Vicky came down to the restaurant and said, she wanted a divorce.
Actually, I went down to the restaurant and said, I want to separate. And what I said is, I love you so much, but I can't go on living like this. And so when you can get your life back together, I love you and I'm waiting.
So what you heard, Bill, was
Vicky said that?
The marriage
Something
is
like
over?
That. I definitely said it.
I heard the marriage was over. And when she walked out of the restaurant, I remember telling the bartender, well, my wife wants a divorce, and so I guess I'm free. And there was actually a big sense of relief to me at that time that, well, now I could do whatever I wanted, didn't have to hide anything. And, it was probably the best thing. And that's how I felt. And
Vicky, you're scared to death, or what are you thinking?
I was very scared, but I knew I just couldn't go on anymore. It was a charade. Our marriage was non-existent.
We need to cut into this story at a very dark place, but hope is coming, I promise. Tomorrow we'll hear how God began to transform Bill and Vicky Rose. They've been telling their story to Nancy Lee DeMoss. Now, if you can relate to Bill and Vicky's mess and their hurt, I want you to discover the same hope they found. Vicky writes very honestly about the hurt and very joyfully about the hope in her new book. It's called Every Reason to Leave and Why We Chose to Stay Together. This book will encourage women to find their fulfillment in the Lord, not in marriage or anything else. And out of that sense of fullness, wives can then love their husbands and stay committed to marriage, even if it seems impossible. Find out why commitment in marriage matters so much, and find out how to have the power to stay together. Vicky writes about it in Every Reason to Leave. We'll send you a copy as our way of saying thanks when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. Your gift will help us speak to women like Vicky who need God's truth in the messy situations of life. Vicky still gets a lot out of Revive Our Hearts.
It's just such an encouragement to me to hear Revive Our Hearts. I read my Bible first thing every morning, but Revive Our Hearts is like a daily bread of teaching for me. The reminders, because I have poor memory, and there are days sometimes when I just wake up and things are askew, not because of anything Billy's done or I've done, and then I hear the word taught and I hear the reinforcement of the word, and I'm encouraged and I'm strengthened and I'm reminded that I'm not crazy, that walking with Christ is the most important. And it's a tough world out there, and many people don't understand walking with Christ or why we do what we do or just coming up against life. And I'm just strengthened and encouraged by listening daily to Revive Our Hearts.
When you call with your donation, ask for Vicky's book, Every Reason to Leave. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. And don't miss the 10-minute documentary The Revive Our Hearts team made with Bill and Vicki. You can watch the very powerful short film at reviveourhearts.com. Well, we've heard 2 days of a dark story from Bill and Vicki Rose. Find out how they began to find hope. It all began when Vicki got an invitation to the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. She'll tell you more tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.